been a really, really kind of interesting experience, and working with only 20% of the organisation, so we've actually had to furlough 80% of our staff, has been quite an interesting experience as well. So just trying to get everything back up and running with such a small skeleton crew, as well as just keeping things ticking over really during lockdown, because obviously the grass, the gardens, everything continues to grow throughout those 3 months. So yeah, interesting, I would say.
And I guess when you found out you were going into lockdown, did you have a plan and know what you were going to have to do?
Yeah, absolutely. We were planned. We have very good business continuity plans in place, and we know how to respond in the event of kind of a major incident. And whilst we hadn't ever dealt with a pandemic before, it was something that we were able to kind of amend our plans to be able to shut down fairly quickly and kind of work that through. So it was. We certainly had to learn as we went, but we had some pretty good robust plans in place to be able to help facilitate us through that kind of decision making process.
Well, a lot of listeners might not realise that you are a charity. What implications did that have for you as a charity? Were you able to get help straight away? How do you make up that funding?
Well, it's so difficult actually, because you're right, as a self-funded charity, 85% of our income is actually generated through visitors, and so as soon as we had to close, we immediately lost that income, and so with the best will in the world, there isn't anything really that we can do at this stage to be able to make that up. So one of the most brilliant things has been able to reopen, because we're able to welcome our visitors back, and all of our kind of really valued supporters. So all of those members who have stayed kind of true to us and kept their membership going over the last 3 months, that income has been invaluable to us. So that's been really, really critical. And also just making use of course, of the government job retention scheme. So making use of furlough has been a huge lifeline for us, because we have quite a large staff base, but we just weren't able to afford to keep everybody going during this closure period.
How much money do you reckon HRP would have lost through closure? How much are we looking at?
We're talking about £95 million, which is a huge amount of money. So obviously HRP looks after six sites, and so all six of our sites were closed. At this stage, it's only ourselves at Hampton Court Palace and Hillsborough Castle that have been able to reopen on a grounds only offer. So we still have our big kind of hitter, such as the Tower of London, due to come online later on this week. But you know, they used to bring in the bulk of the income, because as you can imagine, from a tourist perspective, that was a huge kind of flagship site. Everybody would head to see them, but with international tourism down, we are very, very reliant on making sure that that we are welcoming our domestic market over the next few months, because that's not going to bounce back for a long time. And so we are doing our forecasts and looking at our finances over the course of the rest of the year, and seeing where it is that we can make savings and how it is that we can continue to care for these places that are so incredibly important, not just to us, but also to all of our supporters all over the world, really.
What kind of, I guess here there's a lot of restoration that goes on. That's where a lot of the money goes into. And I guess, like you said, as soon as you went into lockdown, all that funding stopped. So what kind of things are at risk if funding doesn't pick up?
Well, actually it's really interesting, because one project that we managed to kick off just during lockdown was that we have lots of chimneys at Hampton Court Palace, and actually we have a couple that are structurally unsound, which is a really urgent piece of work that we have needed to fund. Now, we can fund them coming down, we can't fund them being restored and being put back up, and so that's just one of the areas that we're going to have to start to look at how we can do things in a slightly different way until we're able to build those finances back up to be able to facilitate some of those really, really critical conservation projects. In addition to that, we do have members of the team who are kind of applying for different grants and bits and pieces to kind of help with some of those really basic conservation maintenance projects and that we need to be able to look after the places within our care.
Because I think that sometimes when you say, oh, you know, restoration, this is what your money goes to, a lot of people think they don't actually see what goes on and where the money goes. They come and they enjoy it, but they don't actually understand how expensive it is repairing a palace that is this old and keeping it running.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why ticket sales are important, but membership as well.
Yeah, that's incredibly important to us. So we're very fortunate. We have over 100,000 members who support us. And we are really delighted to have seen so many of them come back to visit us in our first few weeks of opening. And the feedback and the response that we've had from our members has been overwhelmingly supportive and positive. And so, you know, making sure that we continue to retain our members and that they continue to you know, love and support us as a charity is our number one priority, really.
What kind of thing for people who are used to coming here, what kind of differences are they going to see coming back?
Well, the key differences are that we obviously are following government guidance, so we're making sure that we are restricting capacity to allow for social distancing. We are introducing one-way routes through the palace, through the palace and the gardens, which means that people are able to have a safe experience with us. And even in our first phase of opening with the gardens, as I say, the feedback has been really, really positive. People have felt that this is a haven away from, you know, the chaos outside, and they've really felt very safe, very at home here, which is really, really lovely. Obviously, we need to make sure, because we are a very popular visitor attraction, that people are pre-booking in advance, because we do have limited capacity on some of our on our slots throughout the day. So that's really important to us. But just
how
making
many people would you usually have in, and how many people will you now have in at one time?
Well, at the moment we have a capacity set for around 2,000 a day. Interestingly, it would be much more than that. So on a summer's day, you know, expect 3,000-4,000 people. At the moment, we're seeing between about 500 and 1,000. So we still have lots of space to be able to welcome lots more visitors. So I would definitely be encouraging people to book and come and see us.
And it's all, I mean, when you come in, obviously the grounds that are open, but inside, so there are some really tiny areas, aren't they? How will you facilitate people looking, coming and looking around those areas?
Yeah, so we've designed a route that takes in the largest of the internal spaces across the palace, but with all of the key highlights that everybody would expect from a visit to Hampton Court. So we've got the Tudor kitchens, we've got the Tudor state apartments. You know, if you come to Hampton Court Palace to experience the home of Henry VIII, and we will be able to deliver that for people. But we've also included the Queen's state apartments and key areas of the King's state apartments as well. But we have got some of those smaller rooms will be closed off until further down the line and social distancing allows.
And what have you got coming up over the next few months?
Right, well, at the moment we have some absolutely wonderful wicker sculptures in the garden. So we've got a family-friendly trail which takes people around to meet some of those characters. So that's definitely a highlight that I would recommend people coming to see. We have a bespoke horticultural gardens trail as well. And our public engagement team are busy creating a family-friendly trail for inside the palace as well. Now, we are hoping, fingers crossed, subject to us kind of doing some final work on our risk assessments and various bits and pieces off the back of the government guidance that was issued last week on playgrounds, to reopen the Magic Garden hopefully for August. So we're working hard to get that up and running as soon as possible.